This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Here's Jeremy Irons talking with New Yorker staff writer Rebecca Mead.
Here we go. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about where you're from. You're sort of the picture, I think, for Americans of like the urbane English gentleman. And yet, because I'm also English, I know that you grew up in a place that's a total cultural backwater.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally an island off the coast of a total cultural backwater.
I know,
yes. Well, yes, and the south coast thereof, which is also where I'm from. So,
right.
So tell us...
Where are you from?
I'm from Dorset, Weymouth.
Oh, and I went to school in Sherburn, which is just a little bit north.
Yes,
yeah.
I know. Yes. It's close. Ah. We could just chat about very posh school.
Why didn't we ever meet?
Well,
you probably weren't born when I was there.
Yeah. I wish I had been. That's all I can say.
Moving swiftly on.
So, what was the Isle of Wight when you were there?
It was idyllic.
It really?
It was idyllic. I would go to my preschool on a steam train. I'd walk down the hill to the harbour, walk just round the edge of the harbour, get on this steam train, which would go up the embankment to the school every day. And I often we were the only people on it, so sometimes he'd sort of let me pretend to drive it. And for a long time, I wanted to be an engine driver. After that, it was an idyllic childhood, and I stayed there till we were, I suppose, I think I was about 14, and my dad was got another job. He worked in the aircraft industry, so we moved to north of London, to Hertfordshire, and left the Isle of Wight. And middle-class people in England would send their children to private school, which we call public school. Why? It was a sort of hangover, sort of class thing, really, from the days of the empire, where your children were probably all going to go and have to work out in the colonies. So you wanted to get them to be self-sufficient and stand up on their own two feet as soon as possible and get used to living without much familial comfort or even physical comfort, actually, I seem to remember. Of course, by the time I came along, we had no empire, but we still had the system of schooling.
So you were being trained to run the non-existent...
empire.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Which I'm still prepared to do, but I don't think it's much sign of it at the moment.
Well, that we could have a clip. We could have a clip of the man who knew infinity, which is sort of relevant here.
Yeah.
So can we have a little clip?
Listen, I'm hard on you for your own benefit. So that you can be published.
But, sir, you can publish the notebooks and my prime number theorem. You've had them since I arrived.
There's nothing I'd like more, but if I was to publish them in their present state, I'd be sent to the lunatic asylum.
You don't understand these... I don't think about this the same way you do. These steps you want, what you want, I do not know how to do.
Well, you can just begin by trying your best and see if you don't surprise yourself.
Sir, do you know something I don't?
Apparently not. Oh, no. God and I don't see exactly eye to eye. So if I prepare for rain, then it won't. So far, so good. I am Hardy, and I'm spending the afternoon in the Wren Library. Now we're sure to have sunshine. You see, I'm what you call an atheist.
No, sir. You believe in God, you just don't think he likes you.
Oh, really? Listen, I wasn't going to give you this just yet, but I took the liberty of doing some of your proofs myself, just to show you what together we can achieve. See? You've been published.
Mr. Hardy, thank you.
I sort of have an image of the people making this movie sort of sitting around saying, who can we get? Who'll look really good walking across a quadrangle? Well, it's a court because it's Cambridge, but who'll look really good in that setting? Oh, I know who, Jeremy Irons.
I don't recommend films often. It's really awfully good. It's got a wonderful heart to it. It's a most extraordinary and unlikely story. It's advertised as being about mathematics. Well, Ramanujan, the Indian, played by Dev Patel, was pretty well uneducated, certainly not university educated, in India. And for one way or another, came to the attention of G.H. Hardy, who was a great mathematician at Cambridge at the time. The film is about the relationship between these two disparate men.
And it's also about the xenophobia and racism with which he is met.
In a place like Cambridge, which was so racist at the time. I mean, you know, the Indians were wogs. And they were, you know, look at, read Kipling's poetry. That's what the Indians were to the English. We thought anyone with dark skin certainly shouldn't have a place at university. But with that sort of wonderful English precise charm, so that it wasn't actually spoken out, but it was there in bucket loads. And so Ramanujan had to fight against that as well.
And do you think that kind of British racism is as pervasive as it was then? Do we still have
I think
that?
It's still there. You only have to read the newspapers to know that. I mean, there are awful people in the world. Not many, thank the Lord, but they make an awful lot of noise. And their attitudes tend to shine out of the dailies.
Let's have the Klaus von Bülow. Let's have the reversal of fortune.
I did not notice if my wife was in bed. I did not notice if the light was on under the bathroom door. Had it been on, I wouldn't have given it a thought. I did my exercises, showered, and then I called Deborah Knowles. Well, I mean, it's stable and it's profitable. Can anyone really believe, if I was trying to murder my wife, that I would spend an hour going over a tedious set of figures?
Nasty piece of work. Did you ever meet him?
Yeah.
Before or after?
I met him after. I didn't want to meet him before because it's very... You know, if you're playing someone, what your preparation is to get into that person, to be that person. And I didn't want to be confused by meeting someone else who thought they were Klaus von Bülow.
You first appeared on the scene with Brideshead as this sort of very winning, sympathetic character. But you've played throughout so much of your life a lot of nasty pieces of work, like this one here. Is it your choice, or is that what you get brought, get offered? Or
well,
how does it happen?
It's very difficult. Is it the chicken or is it the egg? It's hard to tell.
Are you evil, or are you just asked to play evil? That's basically what I'm asking.
I think I've got a good amount of evil hidden away in me, like everybody else. I mean, I always think that we're like grand pianos, you know? And we choose in our lives to play certain sort of chords. But all the other strings are there if you want to examine them. I mean, the murderer lurks within all of us.
I read somewhere that there was a study a few years ago in Britain of the ideal male voice. And it was... The winning voice was you tied with Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
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 I know. So... When you heard that, were you like, well, yes, of course? Or What was your reaction to having the ideal male voice?
I was surprised and delighted and slightly cynical, which is how most things hit me. John Hurt, you know John?
Don't know John, but I'll call him John, just like
but
that.
But you know him as an actor.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. Well, John Hurt and I were neighbours when I was around 30, I suppose. And we were having coffee in my house one morning. And he said, have you noticed how many rather good young actors seem to be appearing? And there were, actually. It was a really good crop. And I said, we were, 30, beginning to feel maybe we were last year's tomatoes. And I said, yeah, I had noticed, John. He said, do you know what I do when I meet an actor who I think's rather good and might be a problem in the casting stakes? I said, no. He said, I say to him, you've got a wonderful voice. Have you ever listened to it? And the actors were good. So when I see that I have whatever sort of voice, I just throw it out the window. Forget it.
Speaking of the late, great Alan Rickman, you impersonated him for a Harry Potter spoof.
Yeah,
correct?
Not very well, but I'm not very good impersonating.
You're quite good. But it did make me think, you are the only British actor
the
I
only
can think
actor
of who's not
in Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
No.
Is that true. A sore point?
Well, it's not really, no. I've done other things.
But how did... I mean, what... Did, how,
I don't know.
You just,
I don't know.
Just, that never happened.
Just never, the call never came. No.
Well...
No. Then, I mean, I was too old for the chap with the glasses. I know.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
But, their loss. Their loss.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. You've been a great
thank
audience.
Thank you to everybody else.
Jeremy Irons, the star, okay, not of Harry Potter maybe, but of more great movies than I can begin to name here. He spoke with Rebecca Mead.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.